Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. We're glad you're with us. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and beautiful downtown Laurel today. Bob Kelly, Luke. Daniel Stewart with us from Southern Bancorp, our baseball analyst. We're going to get to that in just a minute. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of the Eagle Hour. Proud supporters of Southern Miss Athletics, and a great place to take your family for a meal 7 days a week. We highly recommend Dickey's Barbecue. All right, the new director of the Dixie Darlings, and I just get a shiver of fear every time that name crosses my lips, those white boots and that horrible name, and it just shatters my soul. But anyway, she's going to be with us.
Yeah, Whitney Hudson will be in the studio today, along with Travis Higa, who's the director of the of the Pride of Mississippi. So the band, they're already working on fall. They haven't even gotten done with the spring yet, and they're working on programs for the football season.
And, Luke, I do want you to know Kelly is fully dressed in hand-me-downs from his waist, even to his hat. He's even bummed a baseball hat off of Pearl River Community College.
It's so he's got the Pearl River. What is it, Kelly? What's the proper color? This maroon, crimson, what is
it? Oh, no, this one's gray. This one's gray.
So, and then as I was just thinking there was going to be like three different shades of General Red. There would be an Iowa State in there, and there would be Pearl River. Kelly, your color format is working today?
Yeah, I got plaids. I got some polka dots. I got, you know, I'm the Hattiesburg fashion plate, baby.
He is dressed to the irons like he normally is, if anybody's seen it.
Yeah, it's from McCrae's. It's called the Homeless Line.
Yes, and it fits you well.
Are there any McCrae's still open in the United States?
Oh, no, I guess that would be Belk now, wouldn't it? Yeah,
Kelly, only about 20 years ago. Okay. All right, Daniel Stewart's with us. Daniel, I want to get to this interview we did with Nico Mazza, and I want to get your thoughts about him. But first, just your overview of just how important and how good this weekend was.
Yeah, you can't put a number on how good this was. I mean, it was off the charts. So when you need a sweep, they came through and got one. Coastal's a good team. Yeah, maybe not as hot as they were first of the year, but still a very good baseball team. Seemed like we really had things clicking on every cylinder as well. So to be able to get these guys where we did with the series that we've got coming up with Arkansas State, Texas State, I think we're in prime position to finish the year strong.
All right, Nico Mazza, big, big part of the lineup and really has had three great outings in a row. Talk to him Saturday afternoon after that good performance. I want to get your thoughts about that after this, Daniel.
Sure.
Nico Mazza on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. I pronounced that right, correct?
Yeah, you did. Yes, sir.
Before we get into baseball, how in the world did we all mispronounce your name for a year, Nico?
See, it's been something I've heard Mazza all my life, and it's never really bothered me. It's always been something my mom has corrected people about, and she finally told me, she said, hey, I mean, we've been here for 2 years. It's time to get it right. So I corrected somebody, then the words just spread.
Great performance this weekend. Last couple, three times you've been on the mound, really, really good. You must be feeling pretty good about your game at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm in a groove. Feel really good about throwing the ball right now.
100 plus pitches today. How much of a stress is that on you?
I mean, it's not too bad. Obviously, it's a lot of pitches, but this is what we work for. This is why we work so hard in the off season. I feel like my body could throw 180 pitches and I'd be perfectly fine. This is I feel great after my outing, and I mean, this is what we work towards during the week to feel good after that many pitches.
As an observer of yours and a guy that admires you a great deal, it seems to me that when you're coming the game, if you're hitting that zone early, you really get locked in, and then you become almost impossible to hit. How important are the first couple of innings to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that sets the tone for the whole game, so that's huge. And if I'm pounding the zone early in the game, I feel really good. Feel like I can throw the ball anywhere in the strike zone that I need to.
What's it like pitching for Christian Ostrander, Nico?
It's awesome. There's nobody in the country I'd rather pitch for. Calls great pitches, calls great game. He motivates every single one of us pitchers to really be the best we can. I credit him with a lot of my success this season and past.
Late in the game, a couple people get on. Oz comes out to the mound. Tell our listeners, what is typically what you hear from Coach Oz in those circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, it's not too much like mechanical or anything. He'll give me like one or two things if I have a couple bad misses in a row, but normally it's just him building me up, telling me, go get him, you got this, really that.
All right, looks like to me right now the team's really starting to catch fire at a really important time of the year. The mindset of the ball club as you guys move into the last two weekends of this regular season?
Yeah, we feel really good right now. We feel like we're clicking offense, defense, pitching right now, which kind of has been a struggle. When we've pitched good this so far this season, we haven't hit well that game, and then when we've hit well, we haven't pitched good that game. So clicking right now is really huge and really important for us going forward.
Nico, put into words your description of your experience here playing baseball at Southern Miss.
I don't think there's any words for it. There's nothing more than I love than Southern Miss baseball and playing at P. Taylor Park. I wouldn't trade this for the world.
Big difference when you're here than on the road, it seems.
Oh, I love it. I mean, these fans, pitching in front of these fans, it just takes me to another level.
Yeah, you can hear them when they're excited. You ever hear them when they're maybe a little upset?
Definitely. You can definitely hear the one or two fans that maybe are a little upset, but they normally are sounded out by all the people cheering.
Well, you know, it's out of love and passion for the baseball program.
Yeah, absolutely. We know that.
All right, moving forward, your goals for the rest of the year, and when you talk to your teammates, you know, what's the mindset of you guys right now?
Well, obviously, the first goal and first thing we need to do is play postseason baseball. And to do that, I mean, obviously got to win a couple more games and continue to win, but just get hot. And it doesn't really matter going into a regional if you're 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed. Right. Hottest team's going to win, and that's what we got to do. We just got to be clicking at the right time.
It's a pleasure to watch you pitch. I'm glad we got your name right after 3 years, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, Daniel, as you watched Nico Mazza throughout the year, what is it that separates him from your average pitcher? Because he's clearly not average.
No, he's not average at all. And what a good kid. You can tell he's got a great attitude. Loves baseball, loves Southern Miss. So that's really good to hear. You know, he's one of those guys that's got some sneaky stuff. I think that's what's made him successful. He and Billy Oldham been our 1-2 guys all year. So, you know, got good velocity on the fastball, really good off-speed pitches. But just from hearing him talk, you can kind of tell he's in the mentally correct mind space as well. So he's going to be somebody we're going to lean on really hard, and he's got to hopefully continue to do as well as he's done throughout the year, throughout the end of the year. And if so, he's going to be somebody that's going to really do well for us.
Daniel says that well, Luke. We're going to lean heavily on Nico Mazza the rest of the year.
You wonder if the move to Saturday has somewhat taken pressure off of him, because you go back to that, you know, midweek appearance out of the bullpen, and you move a guy out of, you know, his Friday ace spot, and Billy has been unbelievable since we've moved him to Fridays. But, yeah, you feel like now you've got an ace as your Saturday starter. And as we saw, you know, when you get – looking back on Louisiana, we should have won that series.
Mm-hmm.
But it puts you in a crazy good spot to win both Friday and Saturday, because Mazza would be pitching for a lot of schools in this league on Fridays.
He would be. Yeah, he definitely would be. And that's, you know, the ace term. You know, I probably say right now Billy may have an edge on him as far as just, you know, who you're going to run out there in a win-all game. But really, either one of these guys can be a Friday night guy. So, Luke, like you said, we've really got an ace pitching for us on Friday and Saturday. Injury to Armistead's kind of shaking up Thursday. Maybe Cole Biles will be that guy to get us some innings on Sunday. But I really like where we are with our two main starters on the pitching staff.
And a good time to have a week off.
Very
some arms
good time.
Rest a little bit.
You know, Cross Sibley looked pretty tired. Colby Allen got some back-to-back relief appearances. So it'll be good to let our guys get some rest this week.
Yeah. Kelly?
Well, I think when you look, when you mentioned Colby Allen, I mean, I think he's going to be a big piece of this puzzle.
Huge. Two,
the problem with the remaining relievers has just been long-term, which if this is not an oxymoron, long-term consistency.
Right.
You know, looking as good one day as you do the next. That's where the problem has been.
Sure.
But the two guys now, Allen is certainly one of them that has, to me, that has been the most consistent the last couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He, from the beginning of the year, you know, he's had a shaky outing here or there, but he's been really consistent this year. You know, Bob and I talked off the air, you know, back in my day, gosh, 22 years ago, you know, if you pitched in relief on a Friday night, you were likely done for the rest of the weekend. You were. I mean, but back, I think our pitching staff may have been a little bit more deep then as well. So to see Sibley pitch on Friday and Sunday, Colby Allen pitch on Saturday and Sunday, you know, you don't really see that a lot. So for these guys to be able to do that and do it well is really something to be said for our guys.
Because you're a little thin due to injuries?
We're a little thin. But Chandler Best came out, had a good outing. Really like what he's doing right now.
I agree.
We'll have more with Daniel Stewart right after this. Still to come, the new director of the Dixie Darlings is in the house. Can't wait for that. Stay with us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, this segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net, your go-to place for all your Southern Miss apparel. And if you listen to us on the podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or Alexa, then you can order your stuff at campusbookmart.net, and it will be shipped right to your front door. Town & Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners, family-owned and operated since 1983. They offer services like steam pressing, shirt laundry, minor alterations, and, of course, dry cleaning. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street, or you can call them at 601-264-4920. Daniel Stewart from Southern Bank Corp in the building with us, and we'll be at your place a week from today.
A week from today.
And that's when the dreaded school from up north.
School from up north, right.
Promise us we're going to curb stomp them, Daniel.
I don't know if I can promise, but I've got a really good feeling that we're going to do well.
I hope you're right.
I do too.
All right, so we're set up. We've got seven regular season games left. We've got the Ole Miss game, which is okay. It's the Ole Miss game, but it has really no effect on us.
They might cancel on us, guys. We haven't taken that in consideration yet.
Well, they could. They have been known to do that. Wasn't that Louisiana Tech a couple of years ago, Luke, that Tech stomped them in the first game and suddenly they came down with COVID? Yeah, that's right.
I hate to disrupt the conversation, but Daniel, like, that's going to happen. That's going to be a thing this week and next. What's your thought about the bigger pick? Do you think teams should be able to scrap or not count their you know, bottom two or three RPI games?
No, honestly, I don't. I mean, you've got schedules made before the year. Teams are preparing for the schedule that's in front of them. And to just be able to back out just doesn't seem right. Just doesn't sit well. I mean, kind of want to say, all right, chickens, backing out because it might not help your situation, help your cause. But, you know, you can't control RPI, at the beginning of the year, and you got a schedule. Let's play your schedule. Let's not change things.
Guys, what conference would y'all be talking about that their teams tend to do that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Luke?
I mean, some places it just means more.
Yeah, I guess that answers that.
That's true.
Yeah, but it's going to happen. And I took a cheap shot at Ole Miss. It's not going to matter really with Ole Miss this year, but we will see it around the country. And I don't think, especially for those teams that get juiced up for a little known school and they're on the schedule at the end. Those kids should be able to go play that game. At the same time, I understand where RPI comes into play. So, you know, maybe you could affect maybe one or two games, and it could just be across the board designation. I didn't mean to get into that, but there is a big discussion point nationally about should teams be able to push out their bottom two RPI games because, you know, tournament and regional bids are on the line.
Well, you think about our schedule, we've got seven games left, so if they backed out, that gets us to six. So if we went out, we get to 38 wins. If we went out without, that's 37. So 40 is that magic number you kind of want to get to ensure yourself
a
regional
shot.
Bid. Yeah,
but I don't – I mean, I'll say this as a compliment to Ole Miss, even though they're not having a good year. It's a really good RPI game for Southern Miss. So,
yes.
Of course, we want to play it.
Well, are you hearing any word that they're not going to play the game, Luke?
No. Okay. I'm just – the joke has been the last couple years that there were SEC schools, including Ole Miss,
that did
cancel in the last 2 weeks of the season to improve their RPI.
I will say this about Ole Miss baseball. And in my dealings with Coach Bianco, which I've had some, he's never been anything but absolutely first class. And I think he's a first-class guy. And Daniel, believe it or not, I'm hearing rumblings that they may let him go at the end of the year, 2 years after winning the national championship.
It would be shocking if they did. Their standard must be a little different than ours because Ole Miss still has a great baseball team.
Yeah.
SEC is a really tough conference to play in. So if you're only going to give a guy 2 years of a leash after winning a national championship, I think that speaks more to your administration than it does your coach.
It'd take him about 10 minutes to get 10
minutes. He'd have a job
there
before he walked out the door.
Correct.
Well, the whole RPI discussion, though, if hypothetically the Ole Miss-Southern Miss game were not to be played, it would hurt Southern Miss a lot more, only because your final two opponents are taking you nowhere in the RPI chase, right? Arkansas State and Texas State are both toward the bottom of the Sun Belt standings. So if anything else, you could win and maybe still go down, you know, depending.
You can't lose to Texas State at home. You've got to sweep that series.
But even
– You can maybe lose one game at Arky State – and it's because it's on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, losing to, and I'll look up to what they are right now, but losing to Texas State. Texas State's still 117. But you really, after what you did this past weekend, you should be able to have a really good chance to sweep the next 2 weekends.
I agree. But I'm saying, even if they do that, I don't think because of the opposition, it's going to drastically move the Eagles' needle one way or the other in RPI, where that Ole Miss game could help them. You know, for sure.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah.
I was a little shocked at how little benefit we got out of sweeping Coastal when it came to the RPI. Hardly moved.
Yeah, we didn't move a lot. And I think they were maybe ranked one of the – I mean, maybe 17th, 18th or so, but I don't know if that's really
They were
warranted.
In a falling fashion, though, because
they
had dropped 6 out of 8.
Yeah.
So they were, before they got swept by Troy, they were in the top 20. So they're at 32 right now. I mean, we did move up. We're at 42, but unless you beat Ole Miss, you're probably not going to get into – you could move, but I think before the tournament, before the conference tournament, we wouldn't get into the mid-30s or high 30s.
Yeah. 2 points I want to bring
low
up 30s, to you, Daniel. The conference tournament, I think, is going to be important to go play well there.
I think so.
I think we're capable of winning it if things go our way, but certainly need to play well. Hill Denson told us, and you know, he's a director of the NCAA tournament fields, that the great success this program has had in the last 3 years will give them the benefit of the doubt with the people that pick teams for the tournament. You buy that?
I do. I buy that. You know, I think when there's so many intangibles that come into play when you're trying to pick teams, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody because, you know, how do you really pick other than looking at wins and losses, strength of schedules, all the things they look at? I think our program has a reputation of being one of those teams that's been in the postseason. I think that may sway a decision maker's decision towards letting us in versus kicking somebody else out.
Yeah, if you put it in NFL context, it's the same like the Dallas Cowboys, right? I mean, they really haven't been a major factor in a lot of years, right?
Yeah,
but
they're the Dallas Cowboys.
They are. They always get that talk, you know, the Cowboys. Well, they haven't done any. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Well, Southern Miss is going to get – they're the same as the Dallas Cowboys now in that
respect. A lot of time has passed, but I can remember in 2001, we had not a really good year. We were 26 and 37, I think. But we turned around back in 2002, went 36 and maybe 28. And we actually really thought we were going to get a postseason bid, and we didn't. But I think it's because the year before we did so poorly that – the decision makers said, well, we're going to put those guys, you know, on the outside. Now, 2003, here we go. We're, you know, gangbusters winning, and we went to a regional 11 straight years. So 2003 kind of started that tradition of winning and going to postseason that we've been on for so long.
We're talking about a baseball program that has got back-to-back regional championships, mm-hmm. and 2 years prior to that played all the way into the final game of a regional before they were eliminated.
And how many consecutive years with over 30 wins?
22.
Is that number?
Well, it goes back to 2002 when my last year to play. Yeah.
No. So they can't keep us out.
You know.
Right, Daniel?
I don't think so.
Please, I don't think they would.
I don't think they would. Unless we just totally collapse at the end of the year. I don't think we're
where there's an NCAA, there's a way, guys.
That is true.
Well, you never say never, but I would be surprised. All right, Daniel, about a minute and a half left. Your thoughts about this worries me. This series worries me this weekend. You come off the series that you've penciled all year long,
mm-hmm.
right? Coastal's got cachet in the league. You sweep them. Man, you're feeling so good about yourself. You play in this great atmosphere, and you go to Arkansas State. There's 150 people in the stands.
Yeah.
There's no atmosphere. You think you're supposed to just curb stomp this team. It worries me, Daniel.
Yeah.
How do you avoid that trap?
I would put the responsibility of preparing the kids on our coaching staff, and I know they're going to preach that same thing to them. Hey, we had ULL 2 weekends ago, didn't go the way we wanted, but really could have, and we played well. We sweep Coastal. Everybody's on a high. You're going to go to Arky State, kind of like you said. It's not going to be the same atmosphere. You're expected to win. So this coaching staff has to mentally prepare these guys. Hey, don't let up. Keep your foot on the gas. Keep pushing. Win and win big, because these three wins now are going to be more important than any three wins we've had previously.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, I need to correct you on something.
Go ahead.
According to the latest attendance figures, Arkansas State averages 394 fans per game.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't cheat them, Bob. Don't cheat them out of 17
Forget
fans.
Forget what I said about the atmosphere. It'll be just electric.
Electric. It won't even be battery charged.
I think we sell more hot dogs than that at a game.
Yeah.
You know, the crowd. Hey, Daniel, chance. Always great pleasure. Next Tuesday, we're going to come to you. How does that sound?
Hey, looking forward to it.
Always fun to come to Southern Bank Corps. Thanks, my man.
Thank you.
Daniel Stewart, Southern Bank Corps. Of course, former great pitcher for the Golden Eagles. When we come back, as we promised, the new director of the Dixie Darlings. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We'll protect our listeners. Hang on.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank Daniel Stewart. Joins us each and every Tuesday. We'll be at his place, Southern Bank Corps, next Tuesday. Also, the Eagle Hour will be on the road at Alexander's in Ellisville Friday. 100 years in business. What a remarkable thing.
I remember the day it opened. Beautiful.
I'm sure you do. You were, what, about a sophomore in high school?
Exactly, yeah, Bob. Good for you.
Mobay Beignet Company is the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour. Kelly frequents it often, 2902 Hardy Street. Mobay Beignet, the site of the day that Luke Johnson absolutely shamed Kelly Santer in the beignet eating contest. It was such a disappointing performance for your part, Kelly.
Well, you think just because you look at my waistline and you think I'm supposed
We thought you were a lock.
Be some kind of pig that can snarf all those down. I'm going to take my time and enjoy it. You know,
Whitney Hudson is the new director of the Dixie Darlings, and she's over there kind of giggling a little bit about Kelly eating a record number of beignets. She's here with Travis Higa, who is the director of the Pride of Mississippi, no stranger to our show. But you are, Whitney, and we're glad to have you here, and congratulations on your new gig.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Well, tell us how you became the new director of this iconic group that we all love so much, the Dixie Darlings.
Well, I've dreamed of becoming director ever since I was on the team in 2014 to 2018. And the job opened up and I jumped on the application and went through a good interview process and had to do a lot for that, but went through it. And I'm so thankful that I was chosen and I'm really excited for this year.
So what happens now? When do you get started? And I would think this is a really time consuming thing.
So it's a part-time position, but there is a good amount of work outside of practice to be done by me and the girls to make sure that we're in tip-top shape for games. We start preseason camp in the beginning of August, so that's really when everything will get going dance-wise, learning halftime shows and pep rally choreography, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the summer, it's pretty laid back, mostly administrative stuff, figuring things out for the girls.
Now, Tracy, your predecessor actually picked the team auditions, just finished, so there'll be 39 members, I think, coming up, you know, this fall. How do you handle now going forward, Whitney, the strength of that tradition? Because one of the things you said that you thought the search committee liked was the different ideas you shared about taking the team to the next level. But you still have that tradition, that rich tradition that old people like me and Bob want to hang around. So you have to kind of juggle those. How will you do that?
Yes. So I do plan to have a lot of new ideas for this year to bring the team to the next level, but they're all ideas that are really going to build on the Dixie Darling tradition, not take away from it. You know, we will always be out there in our white boots and gloves, shredding on the field. None of that will change. So it's just up in our game.
So you saw the auditions, but you thought, out of fairness to everybody, you just watched. You didn't score, you didn't do anything, but you did kind of see the talent you're going to be dealing with.
Correct. So they have two audition dates. I wasn't selected as director yet at the first one, so I came in just to observe the second one and just kind of see what potential talent there was. But yeah, out of fairness, I didn't score or select any of the girls.
Travis, can you tell us, as the director of the marching band, about that relationship between the Dixie Darlings and the band and how they work together, you know, especially now heading into this fall where you guys will kind of get rocking and rolling in August. I think you guys will start reporting. You will start the 1st of August, but your leadership team comes in the 9th.
Correct. Yeah, so our leadership team will start on the 9th, and it's really important for everyone to be a part of that, including, you know, the Dixie Darlings, our drumline, our color guard, our feature twirlers. And starting from the 9th until school starts on the 21st, we're preparing for our upcoming season.
And it's not just one show. You guys always do like two or three different shows, right?
In a total, we actually do 6 different shows each season.
Wow.
So we perform a brand new show for each halftime game.
So in the chronology of the marching band right now, where are you in that process for the fall of picking shows? Or I mean,
we are still figuring some of that out right now. But soon we'll have all of our music arranged and our dots written, and we'll have that ready to go by once our students are back.
No, you say dots written. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So that means that for every person that you see on that field, myself or Dr. Edgerton, Cody Edgerton, have to plot each person on the field and then create a path for them to go from point A to point B for every move that we make. And so we like to call them dots on the field, but it's each person that we need to account for.
So, Luke, help me here. I've been trying to talk Travis again into doing a Frank Zappa music recognition at halftime. Whitney doesn't even know who I'm talking about.
I don't know who he's talking
Can
about
you help
here,
me
guys.
Out, please?
They will bring up obscure references from like the Revolutionary War fight songs, and we don't know what it is. How quickly for both of you, because for the Pride, it is Southern Miss to the Top. It is the fight song. But the Dixie Darling entrance dance, for both of you guys, how quickly do the newbies learn those? Is that day one stuff?
So there's about 10 days of band camp. I would say the newbies are still struggling at the end of band camp. It's a very learned skill to strut. So it sometimes even takes them a couple games before they actually can get on the field and do it. But yeah, it's a challenge.
They learned the fight song first day in the freshman in camp, director.
Yeah, so they I think they come in. Most kids have played the fight song before they even step foot on campus. So all we do is refine it, and I think we've been around playing the fight song and all of our Southern Miss cheers for a while. That I think putting a dance team, a precision dance team, making sure it looks completely uniform is sometimes a little bit tougher.
Now, Whitney, one of the things that you said about that attracted you to the position was the camaraderie, it just what the Dixie Darlings meant to you as a student. Could you tell us more?
Absolutely. So I was a homebody when I was younger, and I didn't even want to leave and go to school. It's part of why I chose Southern Miss. It was so close to home.
And you're a native of Waveland, Mississippi.
Yes. And I just, the girls on the team became my sisters. You know, I told them everything. We did everything together. And, you know, as the director, getting to kind of lead those girls and be a mentor for them is just an honor to give back to the organization that gave me so much in those important years of my life.
What's a funny story here, Bob, is she was actually informed on April 1st
that she thought they were joking.
That was my first question. Is this a joke?
But that's so pretty exciting.
Yeah. So, Whitney, we learned a couple of years ago when we had the little brush up about the Dixie Darlings how much that organization meant, not only to the alumni, but really particularly to the ladies that have been Dixie Darlings in the past. I get the impression that's a lifetime sorority once you're a Dixie Darling.
Oh, it is. I actually was in a sorority at my time at USM, but Dixie Darlings was my main sorority, what I like to say. You're just with each other so much. Practice is every day, even Saturday mornings before games. So, you know, you even miss your actual sorority events for practice and other things. Mm-hmm. So you just become so close to the girls. And, you know, I had half of my bridesmaids in my wedding were Dixie Darlings. So It is sorority for life.
Yeah, and how many of the 39, I think Kelly said, how many of those will be first-time Dixie Darlings?
I want to say we have 12 new girls.
I see. So you have to bring them along and teach them the ropes.
Or, yes, we call them rookies, uh-huh. And they have a lot to learn.
Question here about the pride. How big of a deal of it is? We always see at least one football game with the All-South band, and we have high school students. How big a deal is that for them to be able to play with the pride in the Rock? I mean, that certainly helps your program in recruiting.
Absolutely. It's huge for not just the Pride of Mississippi and the Dixie Darlings, but our state in general. We have a lot of talent and talented students that come and join us for that game day experience. And, you know, this year it's going to be on September 14th when we play South Florida. So I think that it's a great game for all of us to be there. But it's super important for our kids just to experience the Pride. It's one thing to experience them by just watching them. It's a whole nother different experience by actually playing next to them and being a part of the sound of the Pride of Mississippi.
So we have two experts in the studio, and we both need you to evaluate Kelly Sanders' elbow.
Yeah, let's do
usage.
It right now. Now, Whitney, I want you to watch this. We have 50 seconds left, and give us your evaluation.
I'm always told that my elbows are too low.
Yeah, you got to keep them high. You got to get your thumbs hitting your shoulders.
No, thumbs hitting my
shoulders. All right. But don't poke them out like that.
Okay.
Sanders, stand up and do the kick.
Oh, the kick,
I will hurt myself.
And with the right arm, like they're, you know, going down the aisle.
And the kick, I will hurt myself. But
all right, 1 to 10, how bad is he?
I'll give him about a 3. It'd be a little nice for some effort.
Hey, let me tell you something. That's the highest
3,
number.
That means you deserve a 0.
That's the highest number I've gotten in a long time.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Some physical limitations, obviously, that he can't overcome, and you're just too nice.
What I think is cool, too, about the Dixie Darlings, every year at homecoming, all the alums come back, and the original one, Joyce, Miss Joyce, that
we've
interviewed.
We've had her on the show.
She's like close to 90 years old, and she's still coming back for homecoming.
Yes, she does. She was there last year on the sidelines.
Whitney, congratulations. We're delighted for you, and thank you so much for coming to the studio.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
And Travis, you can come back when you've got the Frank Zappa stuff all lined out and you want to talk about it.
Don't make him do that.
Or when you unveil the fall show. How about that?
Yes. How about that, Travis? Sure. Even okay. If Frank's not included. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Final segment on this Tuesday, brought to you by DBAT on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Of course, training, construction, pro shop. It's all at DBAT, DBATHattiesburg.com. Luke Johnson, Bob Getty, Kelly Sander from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, if you missed our earlier conversations with Daniel Stewart and both director of the Pride and a brand new, what did we call Whitney, director or coach or?
Director, I guess.
Director the of DDD, the Dixie Darlings.
The director of the Dixie Darlings.
You can go back and listen on demand at supertalk.fm later today or in podcast form, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Audible. Yesterday, the guys told you about what happened over the weekend. Louisiana right now in baseball, a two-game lead over Troy, a three-game lead over the Golden Eagles. Golden Eagles tied with Georgia Southern for third place in the Sun Belt. Both of those teams have I think it's technically a game and a half over App State because they have the tie, but a two-game lead over James Madison, three-game lead over Old Dominion, four-game lead over Coastal Carolina. Updated RPI, Coastal still in the top 32 at 32 in RPI, James Madison at 37, Golden Eagles at 42, Troy at 47, Louisiana at 50, South Alabama at 65, Georgia Southern at 70, Appalachian State at 72, Old Dominion at 75, Georgia State at the century mark at 100, Texas State, Golden Eagles opponent next weekend, 117, ULM at 192, Arkansas State this week's opponent, 195, and Marshall, who, how about them Marshall Thunder and Herd, beat Georgia State 2 out of 3. They're still 206 in the RPI. Conference ranking, and we've kind of watched this back and forth. Right now the Sun Belt just behind the Big Ten, so fifth place for the Sun Belt ahead of the Pac-12, so SEC, ACC, Big 12, Big 10, and Sun Belt in RPI conference standings. No midweek for the Golden Eagles tonight. We were talking earlier because Bob Getty made the horrendous mistake of misjudging the Arkansas State crowds by, what, about 244 individuals. But we told you last week about Southern Miss, ninth in the country in average baseball attendance. This is what it looks like for the Sun Belt. Southern Miss at just over 5,300. Louisiana second at 3,312. Coastal in third, 2,606. Georgia Southern, 2,537. Troy, 2,181. Marshall, 1,733. Texas State, just a little below it, 1,732. Stanky Field and the Jags at 1260, Louisiana Monroe, 1,034, and then five schools under 1,000 with App State, James Madison, Arky State, Georgia State, Old Dominion. I was a little surprised that App State, with that absolutely beautiful field, is only 600 people per game. But Southern Miss out on top, 53-02.
I'm glad there's only 1,200 at South Alabama. That's less children you have to shake down for foul balls, huh?
Boy, I'm glad there's no bitterness, Bob, that you're not carrying that forward from a year ago. Earlier this season, actually.
I'm just so shocked.
Actually, I'm shocked that the number's that low at South Al. You would think with a school that has that kind of tradition that 12, that number would be higher. But, you know, when we look forward to the conference tournament, which Bob Getty will have live coverage from the tournament all week and already booking some dynamite guests. But two teams that I think you really have to worry about next, and, of course, we're getting way ahead of things because we still have two weekends in the regular season. But James Madison and South Alabama are two teams that you're really going to have to watch, because you would think right now that South Alabama would be on the outside looking in. But if they were to hit the accelerator and do some good things in the end, they would be just the type of team that would steal it away from.
They're capable.
They are. And James Madison is a team that you really haven't heard much about in the standings, but Luke just went over the RPI, and they're right in the thick of it.
Luke, if the tournament were held today, you may not have this in front of you. Forgive me if you don't. But if the tournament were held today, who would we play?
So we would be the 4 seed. Probably Marshall.
I like that.
Or Texas State. We would be the 4 seed, because this goes back to that, you know, with Southern Miss and Georgia Southern. Actually, Kelly, wasn't it that we would get the tiebreaker over Georgia Southern? Because it's all changed now because of the conglomerate record. But we would either be 3rd or 4th today, probably play – hey, guys, we could play Georgia State. But it won't be.
It won't be on the Little League field.
The launching pad,
at the launching pad.
No, it'll
hey,
be a, it'll
you,
be a
you
big
heard
boy
the quote of the weekend with Ozzie Pratt, right? You heard that. Ozzie just continuing his savage quotes. He talked about how Coastal's stats were jacked because they played at a launching pad. It was good stuff.
Ozzie's just fabulous, man. I love Ozzie Pratt. I love Ozzie Pratt. All right, great show coming tomorrow. We're going to have Jay Ladner. We'll be talking about 5 new basketball signees, getting great detail about that. And one of the great high school football coaches in the state is going to join us. And we got a big Super Talk announcement that we're excited about making tomorrow.
In the words of the former president, it's huge.
It's huge. Exactly.
Huge.
Yes. I want to thank our guest today, and great to meet Whitney Hudson. Congratulations on her new gig as head of the Dixie Darlings. Thanks for listening, as always. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.